Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
All right, let's get into it. Speaking of paying dues and putting in some time and putting in some work, it's still the story of the week, Rob. And I know I've heard you. I dealt with you this morning. I thought I put you in your place this morning.
No.
But then you went on the herd and you spouted more nonsense. Patrick Mahomes should not be scorned. Patrick Mahomes signed a deal worth $500 million. And you have found a way. The hippo, the hatinest brother of all time, you have found a way to hate. Here you were on the herd this morning.
It was more sizzle and steak. When you see that number, you say $503 million. Wow, he hit the jackpot. But, Colin, when you dig deeper into it, you realize it's only like $160-some-odd million guaranteed up front. There's no out for him. There are quarterbacks like Teddy Bridgewater and Ryan Tannehill who make more money than him over the next 3 or 4 years. And here's the bigger thing to take away. He was supposed to be the trendsetter to set the market. He was so good and the face of the NFL that he could have been the guy to say, I want a fully guaranteed contract. I'm going to be that guy for my the rest of the players in the NFL to look and say, he won an MVP, he won a Super Bowl in his first 2 years as a starter. He had all the leverage, and he gave it up for nothing. He took an also-ran contract. There are guys in Major League Baseball who are laughing to think that he's the face of the NFL and all the money, and guys are making way more than him, double him as far as guaranteed money. Sure, it looks good on paper, but it's not a real $503 million. The difference between baseball and football, Mike Trout's going to get all 426. He'll get every nickel. There's no guarantee that that Mahomes will get all his money. That's the big difference.
There it is. Bow down to me, Chris Broussard. Bow down. I'm trying to tell you right now, Chris, I'm not going to poo-poo Patrick Mahomes' contract. In the end of his contract, Chris, he'll probably get a lot of money. But my point was, as I thought about it more and more, I thought that, Chris, he missed a golden opportunity. Just hear me out. I'm not going to rag on the $503 million contract. I'm talking about a missed opportunity. You're talking about it. You're the one who's waving the flag. He's Jordan-esque. He could be the GOAT. He could be the greatest of all time. Oh, my God, look at what he's done. You know what he could have done for his brethren? You know what he could have done? He could have been the one, and he had the ammo. He has the resume, Chris. He has everything to fight and say, I want a fully guaranteed contract. That's what I want. I want Mike Trout money, but Mike Trout guarantee. I'm good enough. I want you to commit to me, and I'll commit to you. That's what he could have fought for, and then the Kansas City Chiefs would have had to make a decision. All right, what are you going to do? This guy broke your 50-year drought of winning a championship. He's all that in a bag of chips. And he could have been the guy. You want to talk about trendsetter? Chris, I can sit here all day and tell you that I think LeBron James ruined the NBA with his super team garbage. But you know what? He'll live in history about doing that and putting together a team. That's something that LeBron has in his back pocket. This is something that Patrick Mahomes could have had he decided that he was going to fight for something more. He had the ammunition to fight it. He was the guy who could have made everybody in that league go. That dude just stood up, and now the brethren in the NFL, they're going to start getting taken care of. They're going
done?
To get full-time, fully guaranteed
Are you
contract.
Done?
Yeah, I am done, and you know I'm right.
Stop. Now, look, I'll give you. I will give you, because you know I'm objective. You're the McColt, the most inconsistent brother of all time.
I keep
objective.
Telling you. No, I'm consistent. I have 2 bran muffins every morning.
I will give you this, the imagery. Oh, my God. Anyway, I will give you this. He did leave money on the table. He did. You're right. He could have hoiled out for a fully guaranteed contract. Or he could have signed a shorter deal.
But all
and got
guaranteed,
more money.
Right?
Because the dude is fantastic. He led them to their first Super Bowl in 50 years. Sky's the limit for this guy. We've heard myself. We heard Randy Moss. We had Will Blackman on the show today. All of us saying GOAT potential. So I give you that, Rob. I give you that. However, as you always say, it's not his job to make sure all the other players are paid. It's his job to do what he wants to do, and it's his job to do what he wants to do as far as making sure he wins. And this guy, I like the attitude, because the greatest winners of all time aren't just about getting every last dime. Tom Brady, widely recognized. In fact, everybody on earth except Rob Parker says Tom Brady's the GOAT. Why? Because he's got 6 rings. How's he got 6? He didn't just hold out for every last dime. He left a little bit of money on the table so they could put the offensive line in front of him, put the defense together around him so he could win Super Bowls. And guess what, Rob Parker? He still got paid mightily. He still made more money than any quarterback outside of now Pat Mahomes and Drew Brees. And so he's got the money and the GOAT title. If he went for every last dime and won only 1 or 2 Super Bowls,
but you
nobody would think Tom Brady's the GOAT. Let
Chris,
me finish. We listened to you on the herd, and we just listened to you now. Let a brother rock and roll. Number 2, Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan left money on the table for Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili. And guess what, Rob? He's got 5 rings. And Michael Jordan, the ultimate winner of modern sports, 6 championships, again viewed as the GOAT. He didn't worry about, oh, I signed a deal. Wow, I'm the 16th highest paid player in the league. Wow, I'm the 10th highest paid player in the league. When everybody knows I'm the best, I'm winning every year. That's all right. I'll play out the contract and win. And in his last 2 years, he got his loot, $30 million and then $33 million. They're about winning first. And Patrick Mahomes has generational money for himself, his children, his children's children, his children's 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 children. And he's going to have an opportunity to win enough Super Bowls to go down as the greatest of all time. So what's there not to like?
There's plenty of not what's not
now
to like.
Now you bow down.
And here's a fun fact from my boy Andre in Detroit. Are you ready for this? This is the greatest of all time. Here it is. Chris, can you see on the screen? You see
yes.
The pictures of Bobby Bonilla and Patrick Mahomes. And you know what it says? It says, here's a fun fact. When Patrick Mahomes' new contract wraps up, Bobby Bonilla will still be getting paid by the Mets. That's what I want to
know. Is that true?
Yes.
Because I know. I mean, how long
Bobby
is that?
Bonilla
25
gets paid
years, is it?
For till 2035, Chris. 2035.
Yeah, I know it was plenty
He's got
of time
15
left,
more years to get paid
was
on that deal.
Was he getting $1 million a year, though?
Yeah, like $1 million with interest.
Hey,
like
I can't hate on Bobby Bonilla.
No,
that's
it's the greatest deal of all time.
Yeah.
My
that's
only point
crazy.
Was he could have been better than – doing something off the field to put him on another stratosphere, Chris, of just he had the power. That's my biggest point, is that a lot of guys couldn't have fought for that. He could have because he had the resume after just 2 years of starting to demand that they guarantee his deal, and it would have been a rallying cry. and maybe other players would have been able to try to fight for it. But once he gave in,
I can't deny that. He's so good. You're right. And Kansas City, I mean, how often are they going to have a chance?
That's what I mean. They would have no choice.
I give you that. But here's the thing, too, though. Brady, again, kept taking less money. That didn't stop everybody else from getting paid, Rob. Quarterbacks are paid wildly, handsomely, and despite Tom Brady not taking every last dollar. So, look, Deshaun Watson, every team has to deal with it itself. And if Deshaun Watson says, look, I'm not worried about Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes did what he wants to do. For me, it's $40 million a year guaranteed. Now, if Deshaun Watson wants to go there, he'll get that, Rob. If Lamar Jackson has a great year this season, he'll have the opportunity to do that. So I don't think it's...
But if Mahomes would have been able to do that, Chris, I'm just saying it would have given people ammo. Instead, those other quarterbacks will be fed the line, well, look what Pat Mahomes did. He gave us a team-friendly deal, and he's locked up for 12 years. He has no outs. He's the best quarterback going. How in the world could you come in here and ask for an out and ask for all guaranteed money when the best quarterback didn't even get that?
But at the end of the day, that team, whoever that team is, Houston, Baltimore, whoever it is, at the end of the day, they're not going to let their franchise quarterback walk away. They're not. And so they will bow down just like, you're right, Kansas City, he could have made them bow.
And they would have bowed.
But that's all right. The next quarterback that's not as good as Mahomes, because nobody out there is as good as him, but the next one that's great will have their chance to do it. So stop hating. Round one to Broussard. Parker's in trouble. Standing eight count.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, well, let's go to football, Rob. And we talked about it yesterday. We talked about it a little bit today on the Dan Patrick Show. And Deshaun Jackson. And obviously the situation that he found himself in. Not found himself in, put himself in. Let's keep it real.
Yep. Nobody did that to him.
Right, right. He decided on his own to post a quote from Adolf Hitler that was stereotyping Jews, saying they want to take over the world, and so on and so forth. And it turns out it wasn't even a legitimate quote from Hitler, but that really doesn't matter because you're trying to quote Adolf Hitler. Like, just think about that.
And the story. And the story.
Right. But anyway, he did apologize last night. And Julian Edelman, or 2 nights ago, Jackson apologized. But Julian Edelman, receiver for the Patriots, who's Jewish, Rob, he came out and he addressed Deshaun Jackson, and here's how he did it.
I'm unusual because I didn't identify as Jewish until later in my life. Whenever I encountered hatred, it never really felt like it was aimed at me. It was only after I was part of this community that I learned how destructive hate is. It's really hard to see the challenges a community can face when you're not part of it. So what we need to do is, we need to listen, we need to learn, we need to act. We need to have those uncomfortable conversations if we're going to have real change.
So do we have the next part where he invited him to the museum? Because Julian Edelman went on to invite Deshaun Jackson to go to the Holocaust Museum with him in Washington, D.C., and then he would go to the National Museum of African American History and Culture with Deshaun. And then afterwards, he said, we can go out and, you know, grab a bite and talk about it. And I thought, Rob, that the way Julian Edelman handled it was great. He didn't say, let's cancel Deshaun Jackson. He said, I believe you. I accept your apology, but let's still educate one another. And I think that's the way to do it, Rob. I like that.
And it is a moment where people can learn and find out, Chris, just the whole story, what you might believe, what you've heard. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
And the museum is a great place to be able to go and see what happened, how people were treated, how they were murdered, where they lived, what was done to them. Chris, I watch those documentaries all the time. They're horrific.
Right.
They're horrific.
Right. A lot of times we don't know. Now, we did learn, you know, a good amount of Jewish history in school, you know, Anne Frank.
Well, not all
of it,
right.
Obviously, you learned about the Holocaust. But, yeah, not in great detail, but you obviously learned a lot of it. We learned more about that than we learned about African-American history. But when it comes to the minority communities in this country, people generally don't know the history. We don't know much native, probably outside of Native Americans, most people don't know about their history.
They landed on Plymouth Rock and Pocahontas. And there's like 5 or 10 things, Chris, that we know.
Right.
And we know the Lone Ranger had Tonto. That's about it.
Right. And no, that's true. And you know of general things about Jewish history, a couple things about African American history. But what we all learn is white American history, you know? And so that's part of the challenge of us trying to come together is oftentimes, if I just look at it in black and white terms, we largely have different views of American history. You know, whites have one view and blacks have another view. And that it's hard to come to common ground when you're starting at different vantage points. And so learning, that's why people have called for, and rightly so, rewriting of the American textbooks. Because we got people of all different ethnicities, races, experiences in this country, and we need to learn about all the different groups so that, you know, there's no ignorance about this stuff. And you can probably at least cut down a lot of this madness that is going on.
Even like there's all kinds of stuff. I think a black person invented the stoplight, you know, Chris.
Oh, yeah. Garrett Morgan, I believe.
The first, right?
Benjamin Banneker designed the first heart
transplant was done by a black doctor. Yep. There's all kinds of stuff that people don't know about. And I agree that people should know and understand all the contributions that were made by a lot of different people in this country.
Right.
That, you know,
have you been to that National Museum, that the African American Museum in D.C. yet?
No, I've been to the one in Detroit. You know, there's one in Detroit, yep. Chris. I've been there, but I've not yet. To the one in D.C.
Yo.
You know, we were supposed to be at the NABJ, the National Association of Black Journalists Convention, this week. And it was going to be in D.C., and I would have gone to see the Martin Luther King Monument, Chris, and the museum. That was a part of what I wanted to do when we were in D.C.
The museum's tremendous, man. You got to go. I would recommend everybody.
The monument as well or not
yet? Yep. Okay. We went to D.C. when President Obama had his... was going to do his speech.
Okay.
And so we saw it then, you know, we went sightseeing, and then we've been to the museum a few times. When you go to the museum, you need at least a full day. We went three days. Because, yeah, I mean, I even split up with my family. Like, my wife, I went once with her, and we split up. And then we took our kids, and so my daughters went together, then my wife, then me. Because you want to be able to go at your own pace. Because it's not like you're just going to walk around and, oh, yeah, look at this, look at that. Like, I was reading and learning and, you know what I mean? Like, I spent, so there's several, there's like, I want to say three or five levels. But the bottom level is slavery. And I spent one day down there.
Wow.
And just reading and you know, learning everything. And then the next level was like the civil rights movement. And it's good. It's not only the civil rights movement. They talk about the Black Panthers and the Nation of Islam and all the movements for liberation. And it's great. And I actually think, I don't know, you probably can't make it a required trip for, you know, high school or elementary students that
everybody
aren't
get
in
to
that.
D.C.
Right.
But
it should definitely be something that not just blacks go to, but that people of all races, because it is educational.
But Edelman, Chris, here's a teaching moment, right?
Yep.
Reaching out, trying to get somebody to understand what's going on with Jewish people, what their plight and their woes, Chris, were, and their terror and their horrors, and let people understand. I think that was a good thing by him. He could have easily been dismissive.
Right. I totally agree. And I like that much better than cancel culture, because you know, everybody makes mistakes. And even if you want to say, well, this one is a mistake, he did it on purpose. Even so, a person can change, you know. And now if he shows you later on that he really hasn't changed, and that was just an apology he put out there that was insincere, that he did under public pressure, that's one thing. But you have to give people the chance to change. And I actually like that better, Rob. And I'm not saying this was necessarily a bad thing, but when Michael Vick, you know, forgave Riley Cooper, right, for using the N-word, that's fine. But Vick could have taken it a step further, like Edelman, and said, look, let's go to this museum, or let me give you some books to read, you know what I'm saying, about Black history, and then maybe that word won't come out of your mouth. You know what I mean? So I think that's really could be a teaching moment, that when somebody does make a mistake like this, you can forgive them, but also share with them. It doesn't have to be going to a museum with them necessarily, but recommending some books or giving them some books. And giving them an opportunity, trying to help them learn. And I know it's not your responsibility, but we're in a country that's very much divided, and we're a very pluralistic society where we have so many different types of people that we're going to have to find a way for all of us to coexist in some type of peace. And not that everybody's going to agree. But we have to be, you know, allow people to believe what they believe in a lot of cases, and just, you know, just learn how to coexist peacefully.
Yeah, it ain't easy, because people have been trying to do it for a gazillion years, Chris.
Yeah.
With differences, you know, religious wars that go on, right? Very religious people fighting over religion. It's been going on forever.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
It's supposed to be peaceful and be able to love each other and over religion. So it ain't that easy. But it is good to see that maybe coming out of this, DeSean Jackson will learn from this, and maybe others will look into it a little bit more. And Chris, the thing that you said yesterday or this morning about just knowing where you're getting stuff from before you just decide to post something. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's planted, and propaganda and falsehoods, and people have narratives they're trying to push. Do you know what I mean? And people gobble that stuff up. They look at it and go, oh, look at this. See, this is what's going on.
Yep.
And they buy into it.
No, look, one thing that whether you like him or not, there is a lot of fake news out there, and you do have to try to find out how to decipher between it. And you're right. Like, you got to know what you're posting. It's just too easy to put something out there. And so people really need to slow down and take your time before you say something or post something. And I think that's a lesson that hopefully not only DeSean Jackson, but other people will learn from that. All right, from the NFL to the NBA, another star voice is calling out for change and awareness. That's next on The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob. Keep it locked.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm telling y'all, look, we're going to run this segment a little bit later. So just get you on the boards, just get ready for it, because we started late. But this guy deserves it. He is a film director, producer, and screenwriter, the founder of the Hidden Empire Film Group. And also, word is, he used to ball and was nice. Played in Germany for several years. And he's done some great stuff because I just watched, well, I went to see one of his movies, Intruder, and that was very good with Dennis Quaid, Michael Ealy, Megan Good, really good movie. And then Black and Blue, my family just watched that last week. So this is Deion Taylor. Deion, welcome to the Odd Couple, brother.
Welcome to the show.
Yo, how you guys doing, man? What you mean you used to be nice? I'm still nice. Chris, what's going on, man?
You were so nice you played in Germany. That's all I
know. Okay, so look, you better have some crazy stats from Germany, like 22-7 or something like that. What was it?
No, try 31-9. Come on, man.
Wow, 31-9?
Try 31-9, Chris. Okay. I'm nice with it, man.
Okay.
I'm old now.
Did you ever get a close, like a summer league contract or close to anything like that with the NBA?
Yeah, man. I was obviously back and forth, man, doing a bunch of stuff. Got with the Kings for a minute. Tried out with Denver for a minute. You know, it just wasn't in the cards for me, man. Okay. Wasn't in the cards for me, man. But, you know, God blessed me to figure something else out, man, with film. And it was a blessing for me a long time ago. And I'm happy, you know, basketball gave me so much experience in life, man. Coming out of Gary, Indiana, you know, that's all you really know.
Right.
And ultimately, man, you know. and Glenn Robinson, come on, man, you don't know your history.
But when I think about Gary, Indiana, I think of the Jacksons. I'm sorry.
But Deion, look, I mentioned, like I said, my family watched Black and Blue a week ago, and I remember when it was out in the theaters, and I had wanted to see it, but never got the chance. But I'm telling you, and it came about a year or two ago, but. I mean, obviously stuff was happening then, but it was so appropriate, you know, considering what's going on now. It had to deal with some crooked cops and stuff. What kind of inspired you to write it? Was it some of the stuff going on with the killings of unarmed black men? Or was it just, I mean, that, you know, crooked cops didn't start 7 years ago. So what was it that inspired you to do it?
No, I mean, you know what? As a filmmaker, what I really pride myself on is, you know, making sure that the film actually always has a social message. Intruder had a message, you know, in terms of an affluent black family, Black and Blue, obviously with Naomi Harris and Tyrese is dealing with, you know, social injustice and, you know, the Black and Blue lines of things. 2 years ago, I had a film called Traffic, which dealt with human trafficking, which was in a capacity of a thriller. So I love hard-hitting topics, and I love taking those topics and dropping them into cinema. And, you know, basically what you're doing when you make these types of films is you're basically putting, you know, the medicine in the sugar. You know what I mean? So we could actually have information and not just empty calories when you go to the film. But Black and Blue was something, man, I was, you know, paying attention to for a couple of years because we had so much violence that was going on between the Black and Blue, the community, and the police officers over the last, you know, obviously the last 100 years, but over the last 5 years, it's been really relevant since the, you know, people have begun to film things with their phones and so on and so forth. So being able to go to New Orleans and understanding that, you know, after Katrina, how corrupt things were. You know, they were policing themselves out there. And I was like, yo, what is going on? Guys turning off body cameras. I got to ride with the police and learn all this information. I was like, man, it's like this everywhere. But
so
no one had really shared a light
on it. When you were riding with them, were they actually turning off body cameras?
No, they weren't doing that with me. But, you know, you I would have went home, man. No, but they, you know, obviously cops would tell me what was going down.
Right.
And, you know, I was very inquisitive to make that film based on the fact that you want to find out, you know, why are things this way? And you know, why is it that you have five cops doing something to one person? Even when we think about George Floyd just recently, you have, you know, four cops sitting there on top of this man's back, one cop standing there. All you needed in 8 minutes and 46 seconds was one person in 9 minutes to get up and be like, yo, man, get up. This dude died. And so that was baffling to me when I went to make Black and Blue in terms of, like, I had seen several incidents where four cops are there, five cops. I'm like, yo, why do you do that? When the one cop could have just been like, yo, don't do that. So that movie examines the idea of a police officer basically having integrity and understanding that you have to be human no matter what color you're wearing.
Wow. It was a great movie, though. I recommend it for everybody, definitely.
I'm always curious about filmmakers and what was like, if someone asked me, like, what's my favorite movie, I would have one or two, like, right at the tip of my tongue. If I said to you, what was your all-time favorite movie and one that you watch and admire how it was made or done, what would that movie be?
I'm the same way, man. It's hard. You know, I'm probably one of the only black filmmakers historically that jumped genres with film. So Intruder, Black and Blue, these are different films. You know, I made Meet the Blacks 5 years ago. Like, I do comedy, horror, and thriller. So my palette for films is a little bit different. But one of the biggest movies that I've loved is Full Metal Jacket is one of my favorites, which I think Stanley Kubrick is, you know, obviously all-time great. And then one of my ultimate favorites is 48 Hours. I still think that movie holds up right now. And it's just incredible. But, yeah, I jump around, man. Did not get into the horror space. I love a movie called Event Horizon, which starred Lawrence Fishburne. If you guys haven't seen that, you should see that. It's really good. But, yeah, I just love movies, man. But, you know, I'm self-taught as a filmmaker. So part of my passion to actually be able to become a filmmaker was me loving movies and being like, damn, I think I can do that. You know, which is rare, but at the same time, it just lets you know that if you're really dedicated to something, there's nothing you can't do.
Right. So you had the movie 2 years ago, Traffic. That's Omar Epps and Paula Patton, about human sex trafficking here in America, I believe, right? So how prevalent, I mean, that's something we tend to think of, you know, in other countries.
Oh, and it happens.
You may think it's a little bit here, but how prevalent is that here in America?
But that's why I made the film, man. I was hanging out, and I was getting ready to make a thriller. And I live in Northern California now. We got a letter from the school, my daughter's school at the time. She was 13. And it was like, hey, be aware at the mall, like, kids are being trafficked. And I'm like, well, that don't happen to black people. That happened overseas. Right. So I started doing my research, man, and I was blown away. It's so much so that I went and made that film because I wanted people to understand the most trafficked women in America are black and brown women in inner cities. Mm. And I was like, yo, this is crazy. Like, these girls are, you know, so basically you get a girl in Oakland, you know, she get a guy that's kind of pimping her a little bit. Next thing you know, she's drugged up and she's in the truck going to Cleveland. That's just how it works. Mm. And I was like, I had always thought, you know, you watch movies, you know, Taken with Liam Neeson, and you're like, oh, that's in a foreign country. No, man, it's right here. Today, living black right in front of your face. And I was like, damn, and started looking at things, man, and I made that film. And obviously that film was a little bit ahead of its time, but it ultimately ended up, you know, becoming NAACP Movie of the Year and won a bunch of other awards. But people were very blown away by that movie at first, like, yo, this don't happen. And then sure enough, now here you are 2 years later, you're walking through the Atlanta airport, and Keisha Bottoms is saying, hey, beware of human trafficking. Wow. Watch yourself in the bathroom. So, yeah, man, it's very real, just like Black and Blue.
Wow.
Let's switch a little bit real. We don't have too much time.
And we got like 1 minute left.
All right, real quick on basketball. Obviously, they're going to start up in the bubble. Who do you like to come out and win the championship? Clippers, Lakers, Milwaukee, or is there somebody else? And why are you picking that team?
Well, I say first, whoever survived COVID. Then secondly, I say whoever the youngest team is.
Really?
I'm gonna lean a lot towards Milwaukee and the Clippers. Based on the fact that they got a young roster and guys. Look, man, these guys been out 3 months, man, hanging out at home. I don't know what anybody's doing, with the exception of watching LeBron do workout videos and, you know, guys like that. You need guys that are going to be able to bounce back right now in this environment and go play ball. So I don't know, you know, what the older guys are doing during this time. If they sat down, had a glass of wine every night. But I would love to see, I think you're going to end up seeing the Clippers kind of pull through this thing, man, because I think Kawhi Leonard, I think he really is a Terminator.
Yeah, he's a beast. He's a beast. Yep. That is Deion Taylor. And if you haven't seen the movies that we mentioned, Traffic, Intruder, Black and Blue, all of them, they were really excellent movies. Check him out. He does a great job as a film director, producer, and screenwriter. What do you have coming next? What's your – you got anything coming out soon?
Oh, man, yeah, October 30th, man. We got. I'm going to send you guys an invite to the red carpet. We got a film called Fatale, starring two-time Academy Award winner Hilary Swank, Michael Ealy. It's this year's Fatal Attraction, and it's going to be incredible, man. It's called Fatale, man, October 30th, in theaters everywhere. God willing, the theaters are open.
That's great, man. Dion, thank you for joining us, man.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
If you're out in L.A., when things clear up, we'll have you into the studio, man. Since you supposedly know hoop, we'll put you on the hot seat.
Oh, yeah, I'm gonna be right there, man. I'll be right there, and I'm still dunking. FYI, just put that on the radar too, man.
You and me both. You and me both. All right, brother. Thank you.
All right, thank you, brother.
Peace.
Appreciate it. Bye.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.